Well, I think that's right. Probably the first time I was here was in 79. So it's probably been 40 years. Good to see everybody out the house of the Lord this morning. Seemed like you got a real good crowd. And glad to see you. And I'm sorry for the loss, for the empty places, the pew, the chairs. I'm sorry for that. Amen. And I don't doubt, you know, what it'll have some bearing on us. But I don't think that's wrong.
That's right.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't think it's wrong.
No.
Amen.
No.
You know, I mean, we're to sorrow not as others would have no hope.
That's
right. So there's some sorrow in it. Our sorrow is for the loss. You know, Jesus said whenever he was going to leave, he said, if you love me, you'd rejoice because I'm going to the Father. But they were on the road to Emmaus and they were sad. They'd lost something. Amen? So anyway, thank you for allowing us to come back one more year. I think 40 in numbers is the number of prohibition. So I hope I've passed that test.
Oh, yeah, you passed.
And can be turned out to pastor. Praise the Lord. All right. I've got some notes here somewhere. All right. I want to read from Acts, the 24th chapter, and I don't know how I'm going to get into this. It's not an unfamiliar subject, but I thought it'd just be a repeat of what I'd preached before on it. But the farther I came down this way, and last night and this morning I found out, and yesterday before I ever left, rather, the day before yesterday, I found out things are changing. So I don't know just how I'm going to get into it, but I wish you'd just bow your heads with me right now. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus now, we need your help. Lord, I realize there's many people here from different places, but I feel that they're all your sheep. And Lord, sheep need food, Lord, if they're going to produce wool and be productive, Lord, they've got to have feed. Lord, I pray that this hour, this day, you'd come by and touch me and help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to get my thoughts straightened out and the message clear, and you'll be rewarded by people being drawn close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts, the 24th chapter, 14th verse. I want to read a few verses there. Acts 24 and 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. I want to read some more here in just a minute. But did you ever work on trying to have a conscience void of offense toward God and men? Whoever the pastor of this church is, Brother Randy, Brother Webb, amen. He said that he'd like to emulate me, but I've preached on this before, and it's kind of still with me. So I'm, as Brother Ben Shaw says, I've got just a little smidgen left, you know. So Anyway, I was coming back from Oklahoma last Monday. And there's a restaurant up there by Caboo. Well, I really like to eat at. I like their food and everything. So I stopped. My wife and a friend of ours was with us. And so we stopped to eat there. Well, they ordered what they wanted, and I looked, and I thought, well, I believe I'll have this big hamburger, and for some extra money, I could get onion rings with it. So I ordered the hamburger with the onion rings. Well, pretty soon, the waitress come around and said, I forgot we don't have any onion rings. Well, that's all right, you know. I ate my hamburger, but when I went up to pay, she wanted me to pay for the hamburger with the onion rings, instead of the hamburger without the onion rings. Well, somehow that struck me wrong. You know? And there's no righteousness like self-righteousness. So I let her know that I wasn't going to pay that. I said, I want to talk to the manager. Well, then she just immediately, she took it off, you know, and I did leave her a good tip. She was one of the waiting on us. But it just upset me. So I come on down, and on the right side of my little Class B motorhome, which means it's a glorified van with a commode. And I was coming on down, and the right-hand side of that had completely quit working on my signal lights. Had no signal lights on the right-hand side. So I pulled in. It's 2 years old, but I bought it from a woman. Evidently, she married a man that had a lot of money, and he bought it for her, and then he died, and she didn't want to drive it no more. And so after 2 years sitting in the yard, she decided to sell it. So I got a bargain. I'm glad for it. But anyway, I brought it down to the Dodge place. Well, I went in, and yeah, we'll look at it. And they looked at it. Well, when they brought it typed out to me, since this is a Class B motorhome, they modified it. Then whatever this module was that let all that go to blank on me, it wasn't under warranty because they'd modified it, and therefore it wasn't. Now, they told me if a rat chews a wire into it or something, it's not covered. I understand that. But they didn't tell me what the modification did, just that it wasn't under warranty. So, well, I said, well, all right, but I'll tell you what. I want a number to call. I want to call Chrysler Corporation. You know, and I think I was justified in that. So she said, just a minute. She went back and talked to the service manager. He said, well, since it just has 10,000 miles on it, we'll go ahead and warn it. You know? So I got out of it. But all this time, I was in the right, but my attitude is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all never had that trouble. Just keep on emulating me, brother. You may wind up lost. Huh? And then that's on Monday. On Wednesday, they've called me and told me our medicine's ready. Well, it's 30 miles down there where I buy it. My wife says we ought to start buying it there in West Plains where we live. But I like the people, and I just hate to make changes. So I went down there. Well, what they do, they put both of our medicine together for 3 months. Well, I got down there, and they said, well, your wife's medicine ain't ready. Won't be ready till the 27th. Well, they've been calling me all the time, telling me your medicine ready. That meant both of us. So here I've driven 30 miles down there. We're short on time, and her medicine ain't ready. Well, I said, you know, I guess I'm going to have to change, start buying at West Plains, you know. And so I didn't come out good there. You see what I'm saying? So this herein do I exercise myself. Or because I believe this is what he's saying, I work at having a conscience void of offense. So 3 times this week I failed. So I'm preaching on, don't do as I do, do what I say. All right? Because I've grieved over that. I knew I was in bad shape before the last episode. I knew I was. Because I went to church on Tuesday night, and I sat there listening to my son-in-law, and I thought, man, he's preaching wonderful. And anytime you think your son-in-law is preaching wonderful, you know you're bad shape spiritually. So, you know, So it was just a bad time all the way around. And I'm serious about what I'm saying now. I've grieved over that. And I sat the other night and I thought, this is bad. I feel like I'm bad as Peter was when he denied the Lord. But I can't cry like he cried. And I thought, this is bad. And I thought, what would a person do if you have a David and Bathsheba experience and have a man killed to get what he wanted there? I said, how would you live with yourself? So when I preach today, I'm preaching under condemnation because I failed the Lord. I preached all this good stuff and then turned right around and failed him three times. Failed him. Amen. So I really feel bad. But I look at this, and I remember preaching on this over at Brother Mike's. And, that was a week everybody was supposed to preach on holiness. So I gave a title to it, the thing that motivates us to live holy, and that's the resurrection.
Yeah.
Now, I want to read something. I know it's going to take me a little while to get into this.
Go ahead.
And I may never get out of it. But anyway, I want to read something to you about the resurrection. I don't know just exactly where to start. Paul, writing the 15th chapter of Corinthians, he's talking about the resurrection, talking about the body and how to be raised, and it's going to be a mystery there. Talked about the fact that we'll have a celestial body, that that body will differ just like the stars differ. They both look the same to me when I'm looking outside, watching them, but they'll be different. And sown in corruption, raised in corruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. 44th verse, sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. As written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And after that which is spiritual. The first man of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Paul expected the Lord to come in his time. Huh? Praise the Lord. There's several scriptures on that. This may be kind of like a Sunday school class. I don't know. I hope it ain't. I hope the Lord gets in this. But Paul talking about this, Paul believed that the Lord could come in his day. I know there's a lot of people who use some of Paul's writing to prove he can't come. But they believed what Paul didn't believe. Because he believed the Lord could come in his day. Not only just where he said, then we which are alive and remain shall be called together with them. Not only that, but here he is writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians. And he said this, if I can find it here. Now, let me read 1 Titus. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to look at that word appearing. I want to go to 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In Titus, he writes and he says that word appearing. He uses the same word in Thessalonians, and it's brightness. So look at that blessed hope and the glorious brightness of the great God. Amen. So when you look at that, and I know this right, but they say that the literal interpretation of that is the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know that, but the brightness of who in the brightness of his glory. An express image in person. So the Bible said there's going to be a glorious and a brightness appearing. Now, let me move on just a little more, reading in Corinthians. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He didn't say waiting for the grave, did he?
No.
But he said waiting for the coming. Yeah. Now I want to look at that word waiting just a little bit. Yeah. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, that is our citizenship, is in heaven, from which also we, and here's that word waiting, but it's translated different. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was not offered to bear the sin of many. None of them that look for him, same word as waiting, shall be appear the second time without sin. In other words, amen, when he's talking to those Corinthians, he said waiting or looking or fully expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? So to come behind in no gift, fully expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me go a little forward. Verse 8 of 1 Corinthians. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word confirm means who is reliable to inspire confidence in you. Amen. Until that end means you reach the goal. Who also is able to inspire confidence in you until you reach the goal. And the next three words is in verse 9, says, God is faithful. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when we talk about the resurrection, amen, we're inspired to live holy. Amen. I know you know that scripture in John 1 or John 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because he knew him. They knew him not. Beloved, now are we the Son of God. Doth not appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as pure he is pure. You know, we can, when we think about death, we think maybe we can change things when we come down to die. Amen. I owe him an apology, but I remember they told me, I don't know if it really happened, but I think it's around Granite City, Illinois. These two brethren went to church for years. They got into it over a wheelbarrow, amen. And they come down, one of them got real sick, and they called the other and come in there, and he said, told him, said, now, looks like I ain't going to make it. I'd like to make it right. Before I die. And that other brother won't get along, so that's fine, I'll be glad. He said, well, said, we'll consider it right, but if I get well over this, it's the same as it was before. You know? I'm talking about how we look at death. We're like the thief on the cross. We got just a little time, but we can make it right. But when you look at the resurrection, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you got no time. You're gone. The twinkling of an eye is the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, I believe what it is. And when you realize how that change will come so quickly, and I've told this over and over again because God told me that. He was a man who worked for a radio station, and he said, if you're making a speech in California, amen, a man sitting 20 rows back there, and you're talking on a mic, the man in Missouri, if he's got a radio, will hear that before the guy 20 rows back. So, before you hear the shout in California, the saints in Missouri will be gone. You've got no time to straighten it up, amen. You've got no time to get ready. You've got no time to pray, amen. Paul said, because I believe this, I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. So that's I didn't read this. Rest this. A moment, twinkle eye. Last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound. Dead shall be raised in Christ. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. The sting of death is sin. And you know, the Bible said, Romans 10:4, Christ is in the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. Amen. The law reveals sin to man, but Christ reveals salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he is the goal that the law was reaching for. It struggled to reach that. And when Christ came, the law reached the goal. It made man realize what sin is like. The Bible tells that in Romans 3:19-20:21. Amen. Makes us see ourselves as wicked sinners. But then we see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, death, the strength of sin is in the law. Hallelujah. It's there, but thanks be unto God. As the Bible said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a scripture, and I know it says, for whatsoever is born of God. Amen. I can't remember how it goes, but I know where it's at. Just give me a minute. I'll read it to you. Amen. 5:4 of 1 John. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise God. Aren't you glad that God, according to Romans 12:3, that he gave us a measure of faith? Hallelujah. Praise. I don't know how far you go with this, but in Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you say through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. We always look at that. Amen, grace, but what about faith? Is that something that God allows us to have because we believe what God said about his Son? For the heart believeth, the mouth confesseth, amen. Doesn't necessarily mean you have a great faith in something, but you feel like that if there's a God, he can save you, and he saves you, and you start your walk of faith. It's a gift from God. I don't know how far you go with that, but I'm simply saying what a wonderful thing it is when Paul wrote here, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm talking to you this day, amen, if I can. I'm trying to. I'm not doing a very good job. But I'm trying to preach to you, amen, that there's a reason why we ought to live holy. That's because Jesus is coming, amen. And we need to preach that Jesus is coming, amen. Now, one of the reasons why that the Lord, I felt, I gave me this message on the 5th of March, that early that morning I had an unusual dream. I told this over Brother Mike's. I dreamed that our Lord, that is God's Son, was going before the throne of God. God himself was on the throne. I did not see him who sat up on the throne. I was only made aware he was there. At the same time, I saw myself preaching to some people seated in an adjoining room. Now, it wasn't a room like you've got doors here. It was like a room that's a partition. There's nothing between that and over here. Amen. But there's a partition. I'm standing over here preaching, and I see somebody that looks just like me going before the throne. Amen. He's dressed just like I am. I'm dressed like he is. Amen. I never saw myself look like I did there. I never saw anybody look like that. But it was a young man, and he was before the throne. And I saw myself preach to those people. They were seated there listening. While at the time I was preaching, there was one going before the throne. That's my dream, and I'll just continue it. Amen. So I could, the Son, as I said, looked like myself. I didn't look like him, never did. But in the dream, we wore the same type clothing. It wasn't a three-piece suit or nothing. It just dressed fairly common. Amen. Just, I can't describe the, I can see it in my mind, but I can't hardly describe it. But it's just very common clothing. Amen. But when the Son came before the throne, he said something like this. Father, I am home. I remember thinking that what he said didn't sound very dignified. I thought, well, it don't sound very dignified. Father, I'm home. Now, remember, I'm standing over here. I'm watching me preach. I'm watching and listening to him at the same time. Wow. You know, what did the Bible say? As we have borne the image of the earth, amen. Don't you know that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right. Right.
Amen? And don't you know the Bible declares that whenever people look at us, they ought to see the Savior, amen. Bearing the image of the earth, amen. And this body that's shaping, amen. It looked like any other of the children of Adam, amen. But, amen, we are born again. Hallelujah. And so he said, I'm home. Now I think that then he said, and all my people are with me. Again he said, you remember, when I was on earth, I said, those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Then he continued, but here not one of them is lost. And he held up a finger and said, not one.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Wow. I remember a thrill went through my soul to realize he hadn't lost one. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the resurrection. There is going to be a resurrection. Amen. And there's going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust, Paul said. Amen. And he said, exercise myself. Now look at the difference between Paul and Charles. In the 23rd chapter, amen, Paul standing before the high priest and the council, I mean, being tried there. And he said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. When he said that the high priest, Ananias commanded, they stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for settest thou to judge me after the law, commands me to be smitten the contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of my people. Can you imagine a man? We just had his mouth busted, amen, Brother Jeff Dykes, amen. Standing there bloody, bruised, amen, amen. And they said, revilest thou God's high priest? And he said, hold on, there's something in the Bible about that. There's something in God's word about that. It says, thou shalt, I apologize. Wow. He was in the right. The priest was in the wrong. But when he made it himself to God's word, he was in the wrong. And he made an apology, amen? I'm trying to talk to you about the fact that this, you have to exercise yourself to do this. Now, I know that you may get sanctified holy where you never have to worry about it. Amen. But I'm just telling you right now, Charles is not in that group. I'll just tell you right now. And I proved it 3 times this week before I got down here, okay? So I proved that. But I'm telling you about Paul, how he was. And the reason why he had such a hope of the resurrection, he wanted to be ready to go in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know where heaven is. I don't know where God is. I know where he's at this morning, right here in the church. Amen. But I'm simply saying, how far is he? Amen. Just in our solar, our galaxy, the Milky Way, just in it. They tell me, I read, that if you was to get, could travel the speed of light, it'd take you 2 3/10 million years just to go across that expanse. And there's another galaxy past that. And in the observable universe, there are 2 trillion galaxies like that.
Wow.
And just cross one.
Wow.
So where is God? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I preached and I said, I believe God sits outside of space and time. He must, amen. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. But at the same time, amen, I'm drawing it down in my mind where I can think. And I can think like this. I don't know how far it is from here to Japan, but something probably 7,000 miles. Am I close? Somebody nod your head if I'm close. I'm looking at Brother Roger. I know he knows all these things. I'm trying to find out. Amen. So I think I'm close then. And if they got the right camera over there, they can take a picture, and they come all the way over here, and from the time they take it and right here, almost an instant, I'm looking at the same thing they are. Amen. There's another dimension. Amen. I don't know how these things work, but there's another dimension. Amen. God is forever and ever. He's without end. And the universe is expanding all the time. God's got room because he sets outside of space and time, and he's able, amen. There is a heaven that can show up any time, amen. There's a trump that can sound any time. There's a Jesus that's going to come and gather his people home, and there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust, and brother, I want to be ready when he comes. Huh? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I know this ain't in my message particularly. I just like it. I'm going to throw it in. Amen. Where Paul perceived one part of Sadducees, the other part of Pharisees. He cried to the council of men, I'm Pharisee, the son of Pharisee. of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I'm called into question. To me, he said two things. He said, I'm here because of the hope of the resurrection, and I'm here because I'm a witness of the resurrection. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's the reason why we're in trouble, is because, amen, I'm a Pharisee. My father believed in the resurrection. But you see, us Pharisees, we didn't get it right the first time when we thought we knew how the Messiah would come. And I'm not going to trust anything but one thing that Jesus said, watch, and I'm going to watch for his coming. I'm going to believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't trust anything but that Spirit that anointed me to tell you, then we shall I remain, shall be called together. And we can preach that generation after generation, and it'll still be true, because all things are possible with God. Hallelujah.
You're right.
Hallelujah. I got to wonder about this Pharisee business. Then I look back in the 21st chapter, and when Paul came and gave the report of what great things God was doing among the Gentiles, amen, they rejoiced with him. But then they said something. You see how, let me read it to you. It won't take a minute. Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. Praise God. Hallelujah. No wonder he said, I'm a Pharisee and the son of the Pharisees. The Sadducees passed that by. But on the day of Pentecost, when Paul was preaching, 3,000 Pharisees got saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It wasn't accidental. It's because the Lord declared they would. Did you know that? I know that, and I'm not going to turn to read it, but in the third chapter of the book of St. John, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so much the Son of Man be lifted up, whosoever believes him shall perish, have everlasting life. Something like that. I'm just saying, he told that's in the lifted up of me on the cross, amen. In the cross, when I'm lifted up, amen. Everyone can look on that serpent. You may not be right doctrinally. You may not be right very other thing, but if you can see me and you can believe in me, you can be saved from the snake bite. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You take when Moses held that up, all it can just make out, maybe a million people or so, you're in the backside, but you look up there and glistening the sun, you just see a little something shining there, and you're saved from the snake bite. Brother, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to understand everything. You may be like Robert World, amen, when he was an atheist and didn't believe in God, but his wife got saved, his children got saved. They were going to church, a little Pleasant Valley church down in Arkansas. Robert out Sunday morning out there working in his corn. He was out there that morning, amen, and the corn was in the milk stage. It just forming on the ear, amen. And he thought to himself, what if there was a God? What if there was a God? And so finally, Robert World took a piece of corn off of the stalk, and he looked up into heaven, and he said, God, if you're really there, if there's a God, amen, you make that corn sweet to my taste when I take a bite of it. And so he took a bite of that corn, and as sweet as sugar, he said. He stood there for a minute. He thought, maybe it's that way all the time. I've never ate it like that on a milk stage like that. Amen. So he looked up again, and he said, God, if you're really God, make the next bite bitter. And he said, I'd like to lock my jaws. And he fell down. Hallelujah. He'd seen the serpent way out there, and it's enough to save his soul. I'm talking to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, amen, as a servant. Another time he talked to him in the 12th chapter. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. If you see me come out of the grave and you see me go away, you know you've got a gospel you can preach, and the Holy Ghost will reach out and touch lost men and women's hearts and save lost souls. Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But in the 8th chapter of the book of St. John, he said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am. We put he in there trying to make people understand it. But what he said, when you lift me up, then you're going to find out I am really the great I am. Hallelujah. I'm the God of glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And they lifted him up, and he was died, and was buried, and was resurrected. And on the day of Pentecost, those 3,000 Pharisees said, it's right, he is him. Amen. We're going to accept him. Maybe five more. I don't know how many thousand, but I'm telling you, it's because of the resurrection. Don't fail to tell people that Jesus is coming again. Oh, hallelujah. And to think, preachers down here, it doesn't matter whether you can preach well or not, but if you're called of God, if you're up there preaching, hallelujah, That's just like Jesus would do it if he's here. Right. Hallelujah.
That's good.
Praise God. There's just petition between you and him. Hallelujah. And you're more or less, you're standing there, but you're right at that petition. And someday you'll just step back, and there it'll be. And you'll be in eternity. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I'm talking about here and doing. Amen. Because I believe this. I am working it and keeping a conscious void of offense. And that's really what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Jesus is coming again.
Yeah.
And in the resurrection, it'll not be just spirits, but it'll be bodies. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You remember in the book of 8th chapter of Romans, 18th verse, it starts talking about a creature that wants to see the manifestation of the sons of God. And if you look at that, the Bible says that creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. But God put him under that thing. And the reason why is because he sinned in the garden. That's the way I see it, huh? Hallelujah. He sinned in the garden. Amen. And we bear the image of the earthy. Amen. We look just like anybody else. You meet a sinner out on the road, he looks just like you do. You look just, you know what I mean? He's just a person like you are. Amen. So this old outward body, amen, whether it's in sin or not, it'd like to see a day when it don't suffer. It'd like to see a day, that manifestation of the Son of God. Like to see that day. Like to enjoy that day. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, amen, the Bible tells us there, and I'm not going to go to it. You read yourself. But you know what it says? All things work together for the good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. What is God's purpose? Resurrection. That's his purpose. Amen. He foreordained us that way. And declared it to be that way. And he said, we're going to be glorified that way. Because there's going to be a resurrection out of the ground. It's not going to just be some soul goal. Amen. When you get out, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. But God is going to resurrect to ever. And Paul is saying there, amen, difference in glory like sun and the stars. But there is going to be a resurrection of the dead. And the oldest man in the oldest book in the Bible declares that. The very oldest book in the Bible, in the book of Job, the 19th chapter. Amen. You remember Job said, have mercy on me, my friends. Have mercy on me. He is begging to have God to have mercy on me. Amen. For the hand of God has touched me. And he went on talking to him. He said, I wish I could get this wrote down somewhere. I'd like for me written down on a rock with a pen of lead. Amen. I'd like for this declared. I want you to know one thing. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. And in the latter day, he shall stand up on the earth. Amen. They tell me that Hebrew meant, amen, that Hebrew and the word latter day, amen, that word means, amen, he will declare and clear me of everything that I've been charged with. Amen. Oh, yeah. They said, you're guilty. You're guilty of some immorality. You're guilty of a social sin that's caused you to have a social disease. They thought he was guilty of all kinds of fornicating and adultery and what have you. But he said, there'll come a time in the resurrection God is going to declare, amen, that I have been judged innocent by the almighty hand of God. Hallelujah. I know that in the latter day, amen, he shall stand upon the earth. Brother, I want to tell you something. From the moment man was placed in this whole world, it seemed like something in his breast cried out, there is going to be a resurrection when we shall be with the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. I look at Psalmist David. I've got that written down somewhere, so I won't have to turn to it. All right. Psalmist David said, I've set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Amen. Praise the Lord. I found out something about Paul. One thing about Paul, not only did he believe in a resurrection, he believed, amen, that he ought to live right because the same power that came Jesus, kept Jesus holy, can keep him holy. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to go ahead and read it to you, but Philippians 3:10, where it said, well, I am, that I may know him, the power that is over, power that overcomes resistance of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. I want to know him like he lived down here. Amen. Romans, the first chapter, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made the seed of David, according to the flesh, declared to be son of God with power, that is, that overcomes resistance, according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection. He said he was holy, and I want to be holy, amen. That's no wonder, amen, we strive, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man. What is it about us, amen, that makes us want to be holy? Sometimes we want to make it and do it so bad, amen, we get self-righteous and self-holy. We overstep the boundary that God made for us, but there's something in us that makes us want to please Almighty God, amen, with the way we live down here in this earth. I feel like it's because we know there's going to be a resurrection. I hope I'm helping you. I'm talking to you about the resurrection. The resurrection. Paul said to the church, you're waiting, you're looking, you're fully expecting his coming. To the church of Corinth, amen. To Thessalonians, he told them, you're looking for his coming. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm looking for his coming. And why should we be any different? What is wrong with that? I feel like we need to realize that this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ has power to bring conviction on the lost.
Yes.
I believe it does. Yes, it does. One other thing. You remember Balaam? Not Balaam, but Enoch?
Yeah.
Enoch walked with God?
Yeah.
And was not. That's Genesis 5:22, amen. Five's the number of grace, 22's light, amen. He got some light somewhere, didn't he? Huh? Hallelujah. Hey, by faith, any was translated, he should not see death and not found, because God translated him before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Hallelujah. The Bible said that before that, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness, he was righteous. God testifying as his gifts, amen. But in this it says, he had this testimony that he pleased God, amen. And the Bible said, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe he's talking about Enoch in the same place, don't you? Well, what about his testimony, amen? Praise the Lord. Jude said, and I'll turn over and read it to you because I could quote a little of it, but I might get some of it wrong. This is what he said about Enoch, amen.
Yeah.
Jude said, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, of what things? When Korah, Balaam, Cain, with their corrupted views of worship, and their turning away from the word of God, when the whole looked like everybody was turning the wrong direction, amen, the man rose up, amen, and said the seventh of Adam. He prophesied, and what did he say? Behold, the Lord cometh. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory be to God. For he had this testimony that he pleased God. God said, I like that. I like that. Say it again. He came out. Say it again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Get it out there. Amen. Let Noah go ahead and build that ark. And let them laugh and make fun of him. Amen. But there's going to be a judgment, both of the just and the unjust. Behold, the Lord cometh. Amen. And with 10,000s, I don't know how many 10,000s are, amen, but of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all, amen, that are ungodly among all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed with their hard speech, the ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Amen. People said he took that from the book of Enoch, but Enoch said in the book of Enoch, he comes with myriads of saints to execute judgment on them. It would sound like you're going to execute judgment on the saints in the book of Enoch. But in Jude's prophecy, he said to execute judgment upon the ungodly, man. And then the world will know and the world will see that when we judge angels, that the righteous have been vindicated by trusting in the Lord, that there's going to be a resurrection. Hallelujah. Well, I've done the best I can. I've done the best. So we have three in the Old Testament testified about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament, in the last book, three times the Lord said, behold, I come. And three times the earth responded and said, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, he said, behold, I come. I just want to tell you this. You know it because you've heard me preach it before. But that word, Greek there, word beho is idu, if I can pronounce it right. It means low or sea. And the 12th verse said, behold, I come, low or sea. But in the 20th verse, he said, surely I come. And that word, surely, is na'i, if I can pronounce it right, na'i. Amen? And it means, yes, yes, verily, even so. Amen. And they say that this third and final form of behold, I come quickly, which he changes the word edu, behold, for the word na'i, which is the most emphatic Greek form of assurance, saying as truly, or surely, or for a fact, I'm coming quickly. That is without delay. I like John's response. He said, amen. Remember I told you the Jews had that as a cross, that God is trustworthy. Then he said, even so, he used the same word there that they translated, surely I come quickly. It's the same word. It's a fact. You're coming. You're coming. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you this morning, it's a fact. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My son goes to Richmond Tabernacle in Richmond, Indiana. Had a fellowship meeting the other night. And there's a young man, there are two little girls. And he's out of Brother Benny Sutherland's church. And he stood up, testified, and he's crying. He was crying when he told us how he got saved. He was working at this factory. Now, they call it something else, but I don't know what it is. All I know, it's a forklift. But people work around, they call it something else. You guys work around, you know what it's called, but I don't. Anyway, this guy, forklift driver, was driving a forklift. He come by where this boy was, said he jumped off that forklift, walked over and stuck his finger in my face, and said, Jesus is coming. Never said a word. Another word, turned around, got on his forklift, and drove off. I got a hold of his heart. He went home, locked himself in a bedroom, bathroom, and prayed through to salvation. Hallelujah. Took him a year and a half to get his girlfriend saved. They're married now, got two little girls. But he's crying and said, he said, Jesus is coming. To man unsaved, just those few words. And he said, I couldn't get away from it. And I want to say to you here this morning, if you're here and you're lost, Jesus is coming. You won't have time to pray. You won't be like the thief on the cross. Everything will change before I can clap my hands. In the moment, at the speed of 186,000 miles a second, amen, it'll all be over. No time to pray. Let's stand. I've took too long, haven't I? Amen. But anyway, praise the Lord. I'd like to have somebody come. How about those sisters that sung that song that went so well with my preaching this morning? Could y'all come sing that one more time? Praise the Lord. I thought that's kind of confirmation. I'm on the right track. And Brother Randy, I finally figured out who that guy is. Amen. Brother Randy, he helped me there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, I want to give you an altar call to tell you that Jesus is coming. There'll be no time to pray. There'll be no time to say goodbye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mr. Shortridge, if he's still here, he'll hang out a sign, out of business. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. Every funeral home will go out of business, nursing home, doctor's office overnight. It'll all be over. Amen.
Yeah.
Are you ready to sing?